Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is February 1st, 1775. The Pennsylvania Journal. This begins a story that starts in the 18th century, right prior to the American Revolution, and continues here in the 21st century in analyzing at the forks of the Ohio what was the relationship between the colonials, all Englishmen in general, and the Native Americans, the indigenous people, especially the tribes that are famous, the Iroquois, the Shawnee, the Mingo, the Wyandotte. On this time, 1775, we associate with the American Revolution. Well, simultaneously, there was a contest between the Native Americans on their land and the colonials of Virginia and Pennsylvania on their land. I welcome Professor Robert G. Parkinson. His new book is Heart of American Darkness, Bewilderment and Murder on the Early Frontier. Rob, the journal, the Pennsylvania Journal in February of 1775 prints what is famous as Logan's Lament. This is a document written up by a man named John Gibson, sitting with a Native American, a Mingo chief named, we call him Logan. He had an Indian name that is important, Shikalame. And Logan was reflecting upon what had happened to him and his family the year before. I read in part, Logan is the friend of white men. I had even thought to live with you, but for the injuries of one man, Colonel Cressup. Colonel Cressup, he writes, in cold blood and unprovoked, cut off all the relations of Logan. Not sparing even my wife, my women and children. That is part of the lament that is printed in the journal, in Pennsylvania Journal, and has become extremely famous through the last two centuries. Certainly was part of the learning of school children in the 19th century. At that point, what do we need to know about the document when he says Colonel Cressup? You have identified that as an error. Who is Colonel Cressup and who was Logan at that moment that he had vengeance on Colonel Cressup? Good evening to you.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you, John. Well, Colonel Cressup isn't the guy who killed his family. In fact, anybody who killed his family didn't have the last name of Cressup. What Logan is referring to is a premeditated, cold-blooded murder of eight Mingo men, women, and children that happened on April 30th, the year before, in 1774. And the Cressup family was one of the leading colonial land speculators, traders, and scouts in this region. And James Logan Shekalemi, or Soyuktawa, believes that the Cressup family is to be responsible, and he misidentifies, so that's one misidentification. The second one is that he says that it's Colonel Cressup, which is really a reference to Thomas Cressup, the father, not Michael Cressup, the son, who was in the area and could have done these things.
This takes place on a river under a elm tree, Logan's Elm, famous at the time, afterwards, and in the 19th century. All these events where we now see Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Ohio, but at this time, it's best to think of them as rivers. because there were no sovereign borders that people paid attention to. There were no towns. So let's explore the Cresap family. And Thomas Cresap is the patriarch. He lives a very long time. He was born in England, in Yorkshire. And he came to America and understood that the boundaries of Pennsylvania and Maryland were not finalized. There was back and forth all the time. Sometimes Lancaster was in Pennsylvania, sometimes it was in Maryland. Was that typical of these times that men tried to take advantage of a moving border and the governors?
Most certainly. And the real problem is that the maps are wrong. It's not just Lancaster that might be in Pennsylvania, but the charter that is given to William Penn says that the 30th parallel is the boundary for Pennsylvania, the southern boundary for Pennsylvania. If that's the case, the 30th parallel cuts. This is for Maryland. Maryland's boundary is the 30th parallel. And if that's the case, then Philadelphia is in Maryland, not just Lancaster, but Philadelphia is in Maryland. So there's the imprecision of all these maps. And there are northern and southern problems about where one colony begins and one colony ends. And then, of course, there's a huge eastern and western problem about where does colonial settlement stretch to as we go deeper into the continent. And so both Maryland and Pennsylvania claim what is today Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, as theirs. And so there starts in the 1730s, there starts a simmering civil war between settlers in Maryland and settlers from Pennsylvania. And Thomas Cresap's house, he's about 30, early 30s at this point, his house becomes the epicenter of this civil war.
It's part of the wonderful confusion of these moments that there were times on the page I couldn't tell whether this was a war between Pennsylvania and Maryland or between the people who lived in Maryland, sometimes in Pennsylvania, and indigenous people who resented the advances of the colonials. And the truth of it is, that isn't complicated enough because we're about to head into a revolutionary period where sometimes the British were sympathetic to the Native Americans and used them, and sometimes the colonials were sympathetic and used them, and then oftentimes they fought them. And Rob has sorted all that out in the person of these two families, the Cresaps and the Shikellamys. The patriarch Shikellamy, also to match Thomas Cresap, was a man who did William Penn a favor. How so, Rob?
So the Iroquois are very worried about the Iroquois, whose home base is today in upstate New York, and are a very powerful confederation of, at the beginning of the 18th century, five nations, and then by the 1730s, it becomes known as the Six Nations. And they're very concerned about, as Pennsylvania expands, there's more and more pressure on groups like the Shawnee and Delaware, who live today in northern New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania especially, they are starting to migrate back to the Ohio country. The Shawnee come from there originally in the 17th century, and they're starting to head back to where they came from about three generations before. And the Iroquois are very concerned about keeping their own political prominence in the eastern backcountry by dominating these groups and saying they have the political power over them. And so as they begin to sort of migrate and try to slip out of the grasp of the Iroquois, they send a man named Shikellamy, who's an Oneida, to what is today Sunbury, Pennsylvania, to monitor this migration and hopefully stop it. And so he becomes pals with William Penn's secretary, a man named James Logan. And together, Shikellamy and Logan put together some land deals that are bad for the Shawnees and the Delawares, but good for the Iroquois. And the most famous of those is the Walking Purchase, the very, very famous or infamous Walking Purchase of 1737. That is the Walking Purchase, which is basically a wholesale conquest of the eastern Delaware native peoples, is orchestrated by the team of Shikellamy and Logan. And that's where the Logan name comes from. This man, James Logan, who is William Penn's sort of chief factotum, is so important to the Shekalemi family that he gives his two oldest sons the honorary names of Logan. That's where the name Logan of Logan's Lament comes from. It's reflective of this political partnership with James Logan.
Now, let's be clear now. We have two families. We're going to call one the Cressips. That's their proper name. We're going to call the other one the Shekalemi. But there are several Shekalemis and there are several Logans. So we have to sort them out, as there are several Thomases and Michaels in the Cressips. They use family names again. We're going to go into what is important here, which is Michael Cressip, Thomas Cressip's son, Colonel Thomas Cressip, his son Michael. And we're not going to go to Shekalemi, the Oneida diplomat. We're going to go to his second son, who is called James Logan Shekalemi. When we come back, the book is Heart of American Darkness. Robert G. Parkinson is the author, Bewilderment and Horror of the Early Frontier. I'm John Batchelor.